We shall turn again to the part of God's Word that we read together in the book of Psalms, Psalm 121. We shall read from the beginning, a song of degrees. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even for evermore. And with the Lord's help, we will consider the first two verses along with the title or inscription, A Song of Degrees. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. This psalm describes the Lord as the protector of his people. It is a comforting psalm and no doubt has been comforting to countless numbers of the Lord's people throughout the ages. It is a song of degrees, and there are 15 psalms that bear that title, from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. And it is thought that this psalm and others were sung when the Jews took their journey to Jerusalem to observe the feast days, such as the Passover. It is a song of degrees or a song of ascents. As they made their ascent to Jerusalem, they would sing, I to the hills will lift mine eyes. And perhaps they would sing these very words when the view of Mount Zion came in sight. And how they longed to arrive there at their journey's end. They would be in the company of God's people. They would be at the place of public worship. They would hear God's word and God's promises. And they would observe the ordinances of God's house. And they would receive spiritual blessing. And friends, shouldn't this remind us how much we should look forward to going to the house of God? We know in Providence we are prevented from joining together physically to praise the Lord in his house of prayer. And it should even fill our hearts with sadness that we are so far from the place where God's honor dwelleth in the public worship. And how we should long for the time when we can join together in the solemn assemblies, that we might see the goings of our God in the sanctuary. And yet, in the meantime, we should use the means of grace that we still have. We can read the Word of God in private and pray in secret and with our families. And we can use other means as well. We can read sermons and listen to sermons together with our families. And we should use the means that we have diligently. And the Lord is able to bless all these means to us. And yet, none of this is a real substitute for the public ordinances of God's house. And friends, it is the tendency of people today to undervalue the means of grace. It should rather be a sad thing, and it should be solemn to us when we are deprived of the ordinances and when we are hindered from attending the public means of grace, just as it was with David in Psalm 42. In verse 2, you remember, he said, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? He wanted to appear before God in a certain place where God's presence was specially manifest. That was in the public worship in the courts of God's house. And he longed for the time when he would go with the multitude again, and he would go with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. He would go to Jerusalem and worship the Lord at the Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles. He would go with the multitude that kept these solemn holy days. And so it should be our desire. We should look forward to going to the place where God's glory is manifest in the preaching of the word in the courts of God's house. So let us be praying as the psalmist does in Psalm 43 in verse 3. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. But tonight, with the Lord's help, let us consider these two verses in this precious, comforting psalm. Looking at, first of all, this exercise of the psalmist, and that is looking for help. I will lift mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. He is looking for help. Secondly, he is looking in the appointed way. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. My help cometh from the Lord. And so we are to be looking for help in the appointed way. And thirdly, the psalmist is looking to infinite power. We should be looking to infinite power. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Looking for help, looking in the appointed way, and looking to infinite power. Do we desire the Lord's help? Do we look to him for that help? Do we even feel our need of the Lord's help? And are we using the means of grace diligently so that we might receive God's help? If we don't use the means that God has given us to receive grace, how can we expect his grace? How can we expect help from the Lord if we do not call upon him and believe in him? Well, the psalmist is looking for help because he needs help. My help, he says, cometh from the Lord. And notice the personal pronouns. My help. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. He is himself looking to the Lord because he himself needs help. This is a very personal exercise. He is saying, I need help. Do you feel your need of help? Yes, others need help. We may tell ourselves they are needy, they need our help. And indeed, we should do what we can to help them. But how good is it to help others in their need if we don't even feel our own need? We are sinners. We are on the way to eternity. We need help. We need divine help. Do we feel our need of the Lord's help? Are we saying in our own souls, I need the Lord to save me from my guilt and from my sin? I feel my own need. So the psalmist desires help because he feels his need of help. And so we should look to the Lord desiring his help, and to desire it out of a felt sense of weakness. We need to reflect upon our needs, our spiritual needs above all. Remember who we are. We need to recognize our spiritual poverty. We need to confess our weakness. Yes, we need to confess our sinfulness, that we are sinners by nature, sinners in our hearts, and we are sinners by practice, by actual transgressions, actual disobedience to God. And so by nature we are children of wrath, even as others. And how great is our need of Christ revealed in the gospel. How great is our need. Oh, we need to look to him out of a felt sense of need of his help, even the forgiveness of sins by the blood of Christ. We are not saved by works of righteousness which we can do. We are to go to the Savior, our true, all-sufficient help. And we have many needs. We have need of health. We have need of our daily bread. We need spiritual blessings. And we're to look to the Lord for help in all of these needs that we have. We need grace to persevere in the spiritual journey. We have a pilgrimage to make. And this psalm is perhaps written for pilgrims, those who are on the way to Jerusalem to worship the Lord on his holy hill, Zion. And we are on a spiritual pilgrimage. We are not always going to be in this world. We are on the way to a certain destination. And what is that? We are on the way to eternity. And we should be praying that we will be on the way to heaven, because the only other place to go is to hell. And we need to escape the one that we may go to the other. We need to go to Jesus that we might go to heaven. And in the meantime, what a wilderness of this world we have to travel through. How we need help. Well, the psalmist needs his help. And while this psalm has been called the Pilgrim's Psalm, it has also been called the Soldier's Psalm. Because like soldiers, believers go in and out. They have various missions to accomplish. They are out day and night, as it were, like soldiers setting up their tents and dismantling them and moving on, with the enemy always in danger of, and so they have to be watchful against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We, friends, are to be as soldiers on the battlefield, and how we need to be seeking grace. We need help that we might fight against sin and Satan. Are we depending on the Lord for that help? And what need we have of his help in all of our circumstances, need of patience. And where does all of this come from? The strength, the grace, the sufficiency. It all comes from the Lord. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. We need help. The psalmist needed help. And he was looking to the Lord for that help. My help cometh from the Lord. And let us notice in the second place, looking for help in the appointed way. In the appointed way, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. He's lifting up his eyes, the eyes of his understanding. We're to lift up our eyes, the eyes of faith, looking to God who reveals himself in Christ. And looking to him with hope, looking to him with expectation, looking to him with desire, looking to him with dependence, depending on him, confident in the Lord alone who can truly help. We are to be looking upward, yes, to the Lord who is in heaven. We tend to look downward. We are prone to focus only upon earth, but we need to look up. We need to look to the Lord. And some say that this is a question. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? Answer, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. But we take it as others who say that he is looking to the hills specifically, not as some may look randomly here and there, maybe the hills, maybe the rivers. He's looking to the hills for a particular reason. And what is that? Because that is where the Lord reveals himself, in Jerusalem among the hills. He's not looking to the hills themselves, but he is looking to Jerusalem among the hills, to Jerusalem who was built on that holy hill, even Mount Zion. He was, in other words, looking to the Lord himself, who manifested himself in Jerusalem. And that is what we need to do, looking to the Lord himself, looking to the Lord. In other words, it is not to a particular location that we look, but to the Lord who is pleased to reveal himself wherever he chooses. We are to use the means of grace diligently, but we are to look to the God of grace himself, trusting in the Lord himself. Again, he can give us grace even when providence prevents us enjoying the means of grace in full. That is a comfort to God's people. We don't say this to make people careless about the means of grace. Oh, friends, there are too many people like that already. But to God's poor, weak, and trembling people who are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, and they long for the time when they can come to the house of God again, the public means of grace, for your consolation, child of God. The day is coming for all of God's people in which there will not be any night, but not only that, there will be no need of the sun. There will be no temple. There will be no preaching of the word as we know it. Why? That is in heaven. The Lord himself is the light of heaven. Think of that. The Lord himself is the source of knowledge and comfort. And in heaven there will be no need of the means of grace there, because all will see perfectly in heaven. They will see his face without any instrument to help them when they enjoy the perfect, what is called the beatific vision of God, perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity, without the means, without instruments, having the perfect knowledge of God. But in the meantime, we have the means, and we're to use them diligently, and we're to look to God himself, who reveals himself in the appointed way. That's why we called this the appointed way, because he's looking to the hills. Yes, he's looking to God, but God reveals himself amongst the hills where Jerusalem is. Where? Where Mount Zion was. Again, where? The city of God. That place that was compactly built together. That's where God's presence was manifest, in Jerusalem. That's where the temple was. That's where the sanctuary was. That's where the Holy of Holies was. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was placed. That is where the mercy seat was. That is where the blood was sprinkled. All of this revealing Christ. We're to look to Christ, who is revealed in the means of grace, Christ, who is revealed in the Word of God, in the promises, in the Scriptures. We are to look to the Lord in his appointed way. God has revealed himself in his Word, and reveals himself to our souls by his Word and Spirit. Oh, how we need to pray that the Lord would reveal himself to us and cause us to know him, that we would believe in him, that we would truly look by faith to him, that we would believe and be saved. Yes, looking to God in his appointed way, and Jesus himself is the way. God reveals himself in Christ, and we're to look to him whom the temple symbolized and represented. We're to look to God manifest in the flesh. Jesus tabernacled amongst us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt or tabernacled amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We are to go to him. We're to look to him who was obedient to the law, who suffered on Calvary, and by his death on the cross, he satisfied the justice of God and reconciled sinners to God. We are to go to Jesus. He's calling us to come to him, even when we feel despair, when we feel black and dark within us, when we feel our sins rising up against us and our guilt to be greater than ever, when we are tempted to think that there is no hope for us, that our sin is too great to be forgiven. When we feel that our disobedience is so great, how can we ever hope to be forgiven? We're to look to Jesus, because he came to save sinners, even the chief of them, even sinners who, like Jonah, who were disobedient and going the wrong direction. And Jonah was cast overboard, and a whale swallowed him. And he said inside the whale's belly, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. That is where Jonah was looking, to God in his appointed way. In the Old Testament times, it was God revealing himself at the temple. But here is Jonah in the sea, in a whale's belly, and he's looking to the Lord. Looking to the Lord. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. He was looking to Christ, who was to come. And we are to look to Christ from any location we find ourselves in, however lonely we are, however distant we are from one another. We are to look to Jesus, who reveals himself in his word. Yes, he is all that the temple represented. He is God with us, and we're to look to him that we might be delivered from the guilt and power of sin, that we might receive his true, lasting help. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. That's where my help comes from. God revealing himself in the means of grace, God revealing himself in Christ. And so we're to look to the Lord in his appointed way, that we might receive help, because the help comes from thence. It comes from the Lord revealing himself in his word and in the ordinances, and it comes from God revealing himself in Christ. Go to Jesus. That's where our help is. Now, thirdly, what else is it that gives support to the faith of the psalmist? He says this, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Here is his support. This is the evidence that God is able to help him. What is the evidence? It is this fact. God made heaven and earth. He says, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." So he is looking to infinite power. So should we. What makes us to become confident in God that he can help us? Is it not the fact that he is omnipotent? He is of infinite power? The fact that God can help us but because of his omnipotence should encourage us to put our trust in him. But now here's another question. What is the clearest demonstration of God's infinite power? What is the most obvious thing that God has done that shows us he is almighty? What is it? It is this. He created heaven and earth. He made all things. And if God can do all things, like creating the heavens and the earth, what can he not do? Well, if he could create heaven and earth, can he not help us in our special need? What is greater, God creating heaven and earth, or helping us in our special need? Of course, the greater thing is creating heaven and earth. And if God can do the greater, he can do the lesser. If he created all things, then he can help us in our particular needs. This has been the confirmation of God's people's hopes from the beginning, the fact that God created all things. Look at Psalm 124, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord. What is the evidence that the support that you have to confirm your faith? Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The fact that he made heaven and earth is proof that he can help us in our special circumstances. God is omniscient. Yes, he knows all things. Therefore, he knows my situation perfectly. God is all-wise, and he doeth all things well. So that confirms my hope that whatever I go through, if I'm his child, it is exactly for my good. And if God is omnipotent and he can do all things, then there is no difficulty too great for him to take care of in my particular condition. He is able to meet all my needs. He is able to forgive all my sins. He is able to give me all the grace that I need. He's able to give me the wisdom that I need. He is able to communicate sweet consolations to my soul in my distress. He is almighty. He made heaven and earth, and he is able to help me in my weakness and comfort me in my spirit. Yes, there is my true safety. My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. Therefore my foot will not slide. And I know that while I am sleeping, he is not. That just as Jacob was sleeping with his head resting upon a rock, the Lord was not sleeping, but revealed himself to Jacob and showed him in his dream that ladder set upon earth that ascended to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending. And so the Lord is comforting his people, comforting all who trust in him. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. And that is the theme of this psalm. The Lord keeps his people. He preserves them from all ill. They're going out and they're coming in, even forevermore, even to heaven, that place that is reserved for God's people, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So, friends, as we have tried to consider these three things this evening, looking for help, looking in the appointed way, and looking to infinite power, let us look to the Lord. Let us go to Christ, revealing himself in his word, in his promises, in the means of grace, looking to Christ, who is near to all who call upon him. We don't have to look to a special location, but we are to use the means of grace diligently as we have them, reading his word, pleading the promises, praying persistently, and above all, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Go to God in Christ. Go to the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He is calling you and me for that rest, that we would receive comfort in our soul. Pray then for that grace. Pray that you would receive grace to come. Ask him for a new heart if you have not been born again. Pray to him. O Lord, turn me. Turn me to thyself. Turn me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. And look to him. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Look to him revealed in the word. Look to him. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and he will take away your sins, and be saying with the psalmist, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. May he bless his word. Let us pray.